Welcome back into First Take. It is a Saints game day, Monday night football. Make sure you stock up on Bud Light. We're broadcasting live from the Rouse's Market, 2900 Veterans Boulevard in Metairie. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Come grab some last-minute stuff if you need to while you're out getting ready for all the Christmas presents. That'll be a spectacular tomorrow. It's hard to believe it's Christmas season's already here, Charlie. I mean, everything just runs by so quick, and we just have three Saints games left in the season, too.
I know, and we're doing the second guest show tomorrow on Christmas Eve.
Right.
I'm like, wait a second. That's crazy. It's already Christmas, almost Christmas Eve, but that's fun.
Oh, and I bet you the Silver Slipper Casino is going to be jamming on a Christmas Eve for sure.
Especially if the Saints can pull off a huge upset win here. 14.5-point underdogs in Green Bay against the Packers, and we've talked about the Packers as a team, their strengths. I mean, they don't really have many weaknesses, especially on defense. Offensively, they're stout in the run game, stout in the passing game. But Steve, I want to look back at their season at a glance here before we get into some of the Darren Rizzi audio.
Sure.
They lose that opener in Brazil against Philadelphia, who turned out to be a fantastic team. They're one of the best teams in the NFC this season. And then they lose Jordan Love
in that game, right?
Yes, they lose Jordan Love in that game. So they get off to an 0-1 start, and then you know, Malik Willis comes in and plays Superman. They beat the Colts and the Titans back-to-back weeks, so they get off to a 2-1 start. They lose to the Vikings, who are 13-2 right now. So they're having a fantastic season of their own. But ever since then, starting in October, Steve, they've gone 8-2. And those two losses that they've suffered, 24-14 to the Detroit Lions, 34-31 to the Detroit Lions. They've fallen to Detroit twice. That's the only team that's beaten them since October. Like, you're looking, they beat the Rams, they beat the Cardinals, the Texans, the Jaguars. Okay, the Jaguars might be a gimme. The Bears, same thing. They're not very good, but it is a divisional opponent. They smoke San Francisco. They beat down Miami. And then just this past week on Sunday Night Football in Week 15.
They whacked Seattle.
Seattle. And that was a Seattle team that was kind of, you know, trending in the right direction, winning record. They're kind of competing for the top of the NFC West, which is currently owned by the Rams. But that's kind of what I'm saying here, Steve, is that this team is hot as well. Like, they get off to a 2-2 start. They're a 10-4 team right now. They've gone 8-2 in their last 10 weeks, or last 10 games. And the only team that's beaten them is the best team in the NFC, the Detroit Lions. So, you know, 14.5-point underdogs.
So, now, you know why odds makers have this such an inflated number against the Saints team that, you know, the starters for them, it's hard, you know, to name anybody anymore that was a playmaker on this, especially the offensive side of the ball that's active.
Yeah, it's a baseline look at the Packers as well. I mean, because we can do further breakdown of their proficiencies on offense and defense. But just looking at their season at a glance, after kind of a slow start where they lose to Philadelphia, Malik Willis wins a couple games, but then they lose to Minnesota, they've really been on a roll over the last 2 months. This is a team that's peaking kind of at the right time as we're getting into the end of the season. And, you know, even if they don't win the NFC North, which I think is basically out of kind of reach for them at this point, they play Minnesota next week as well, so it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on. This is a team that's going to be either a 5 or a 6 seed that nobody in the NFC wants to be hosting in the first round or even the divisional round. So they're one of those wild card teams as of now that's only a wild card team because the NFC North is so good. They have three of the best, I would say, 5 teams in the NFC. You can make the argument 3 of the best 4 teams in the NFC come from one division. So
it's pretty remarkable when you look at, obviously, the North. Looking at the flip side, though, the NFC South, the Atlanta Falcons have now taken over possession of first place in the division at 8-7. Tampa Bay ended up losing in Dallas, so those two teams are tied. But the Dirty Birds hold the tiebreaker over the Buccaneers right now.
I didn't get to watch the Falcons game against the Giants. I saw the interception that quote-unquote interception that Michael Penix threw, where he put it right in Kyle Pitts' hands.
Oh,
and Kyle Pitts, it was a Christmas gift.
Yeah,
he gave it right to
him.
Like,
here you go.
Yeah, no, take it. And
no,
it was in the red
zone. Always talk about that. That's a stat that should not fall on the quarterback.
Exactly.
Right there.
It's, and you know, it wasn't like Juwan Johnson dropping the pass in the end zone for Spencer Rattler this past week. But yeah, now with the Falcons beating the hapless New York Giants, who are enjoying the top of the tankathon list right now because the Raiders won yesterday, which is also crazy. You have now Tampa Bay has fallen out of the playoff race as of now. But both those teams are 8-7. We'll see kind of what happens there.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Tampa Bay Bucs need Atlanta now to lose at least one of their final two games.
Because Kirk Cousins cooked them both times he played them. And so they own the tiebreaker over them. But, yeah, no, if you're Tampa Bay, you're rooting on Atlanta to drop one more game. But, once again, if you're looking at the NFC standings right now, Minnesota and Green Bay are both significantly better than the Falcons and the Rams. And they may be traveling on the road for those first-round matchups because of how the divisions work. So, you know, even if Green Bay wins tonight, which they're obviously significantly favored to do, they improved to 11-4 overall, Packers fans, they might have to travel in that first round, but they'll still be favored.
We've talked about weather in this matchup. I don't think it's going to be a factor for this team unless, you know, the ball gets wet, and that's the worst thing that could happen in the situation. But it's not a rainy game. There's no real wind being an issue in the matchup. The temperatures are going to be around 30 degrees, maybe the late 20s, but nothing so serious where guys are talking about, you know, ice cold, you know, single-digit degree temperatures at Lambeau Field being an ice bowl game. It's going to be snowy outside because it's been doing that there all this week, but it's not going to be a game where the cold weather is going to be affecting players because they're going to be on the heaters on the sidelines. The ball might be a little harder, though, for the kickers. That'll be interesting to see during warm-ups how Blake Groupie fares, you know, trying to kick those in Lambeau Field with the weather out there being so cold, at least affecting the ball.
Yeah, it's going to be, from what I'm looking at right now, Steve, low 30s around kickoff time. And it's not really going to dip much below that, but it's also supposed to be cloudy, you know, windy. It's not. I don't think we're anticipating a snow game tonight, basically, is what I'm trying to say. So
it'll look wintry.
And if you're thinking about, you know, Lambeau Field in late December, I think you kind of got a balmy, quote-unquote, Lambeau Field with those types of conditions instead of having to deal, as you mentioned, with, like, those single-digit snow temperatures.
Getting back into our Saints Sound Bank as we gear up for Monday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers. Well, interim head coach Darren Rizzi, of course, talking about the pack, and here's what he had to say against this matchup.
Yeah, they're really getting it from all positions. You know, I think I mentioned the other day, when you look at their overall roster, it's hard to pick out a weakness. They really don't have a weakness on their team, and that's, you know, a credit to the organization. They've done a really nice job. They've been really good up front with their defensive line, a number of different guys making plays. Their linebacking crew, they added, they added some pieces to the puzzle there at linebacker. Obviously, the acquisition with McKinney, you know, he's leading the league in interceptions. We've watched a bunch of they've caused a bunch of some turnovers down the red zone. Some teams have been able to move the ball. They did it to Seattle last week. Seattle's about to make it a one-score game, and, you know, they intercept Geno in the end zone. So those are the things that are going to be important. They've been able to make big plays and create negative plays, and that's why their defense has been so good. Jeff Hafley obviously came in. I've known Jeff a long time. He's a really, really good coach, and he's got them rolling right now. 11 hats to the ball on that side of the ball, so it's going to be important. I think the beginning of that game, like I talked about, no different than the quarterback. I think the beginning of the game, just, you know, not letting that defense kind of get the snowball going down the hill is going to be really important also.
Rizzi making a comment there about the snowball. Luckily, we won't be having too much of that issue with snow tonight.
Yeah, but you don't want to kind of have it snowball out of control a little bit if you get off to a poor start and then all of a sudden Spencer Rattler is going to have to throw the ball 45-plus times.
Worried about playing catch-up, right?
Exactly. That's the game plan you have to avoid. And so that involves getting off to a good start both offensively and defensively. You can't let them, you know, run all over you for the first few drives and then all of a sudden you're staring at a 10-0, 14-0 deficit. That's the nightmare scenario for this matchup.
You mentioned Spencer Rattler there. Coach Rizzi was asked, what constitutes success for Spencer Rattler in this game?
I think what constitutes success for any quarterback is efficiency. I think I mentioned the other day that the turnover thing is going to be a huge thing always, but certainly on the road and certainly with what their record has been since Matt took over at home. So I think just, you know, I think getting a good start for him, starting up, getting him some confidence and some positive plays early on. That's what happened last week with Jake. You know, Jake just had some negative plays early, and I kind of felt like it piled up on him. I think the start of the game is going to be important. You know, we got to get him some confidence, get him rolling, but really just being efficient. And obviously, we're playing in some elements. Hopefully, it's, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to be too bad, but it's certainly different than here. And so getting acclimated to that will be important as well. But listen, I think like I said earlier, any quarterback, limiting the negative plays, you know, and being efficient. And then we just haven't done a good job overall in the last month or so on third downs. And I think when we get ourselves in some third manageables and convert into drives and continuing drives is going to be really important against this team in that environment.
Coach Rizzi talking about Spencer Rattler there, and we were kind of, you know, going through the takeaway giveaway differential throughout the NFL while we were listening to that audio, Charlie. Unbelievably, the Buffalo Bills plus 20
That's
on the season
unreal.
Right now, but not too far behind them, this Green Bay Packers bunch at plus 10. So, you know, they're limiting their giveaways, and they are taking advantage of those opportunities with interceptions and fumble recovery.
Yeah, remember how I mentioned Xavier McKinney, the free agent safety signing that they added in the offseason, and how he has 7 interceptions, which is tied for first in the NFL? If you're Spencer Rattler, you need to know where he's at all times.
Yeah.
You don't want this guy, the ball hawk that he is, creating a takeaway, turnover, and then all of a sudden you're on the minus side of the field. But yeah, Steve, this is a real fun stat because the Packers are tied for fourth in the NFL at plus 10 in turnover differential. And if you're looking at, you know, turnover differential, Buffalo plus 20 is number one. That's unbelievable. Pittsburgh is plus 17 at number two.
They don't even have double-digit giveaways on the season, Buffalo. They have 6 picks, 2 fumbles on the year. So
taking care of the ball.
Giveaways.
Yeah, taking care of the ball for sure. Pittsburgh is number two at plus 17. Houston, Green Bay, and the Chargers and the Vikings are all in double digits, plus 11 for Houston, and then plus 10 for Green Bay, Los Angeles, and Minnesota. Detroit at plus 9. Are you seeing kind of a trend here? All these teams are playoff teams, and they're all, you know, top in the turnover differential. And then you have the outlier, the Chicago Bears.
Well, that was like the Saints last year. They were a plus, what was it, 11?
Yeah, right. The Chicago Bears are plus 8, and they're obviously not a playoff team. But then you continue down the list, the Broncos, the Eagles, the Rams, all these teams that are at the top half of the league in turnover differential are in the playoffs. And scrolling all the way to the bottom, I just wanted to double check. Wow. Yeah, now the Cleveland Browns have actually passed the Las Vegas Raiders. I know the Raiders are really bad. The Browns are minus 18. The Raiders are minus 17. So I would say that the turnover differential constitutes success, as Bobby always says. And the Packers are elite at it, plus 10 on the season. So, you know, as Rizzi said, for Spencer Rattler, taking care of the ball and making sure he doesn't turn it over, which hasn't been a huge issue for him early on. He's only got 2 picks in the 4 games that he's appeared in so far. But yes, definitely making sure that you limit those turnovers is going to be huge.
You're looking at the Saints defense. They were able to get 8 sacks against the Commanders, and obviously some of those weren't necessarily sacks. They were forcing Jaden Daniels out of bounds for 0 gain, which ends up being a sack. I don't know if the NFL should change that stat category, but we'll take the 8 sacks, though, in the game, but it wasn't really 8 sacks, so they did get 6 in the game.
Yeah,
they're still credited with 8.
Right, right. No, I remember, like, DeMario had, like, pushed him out, you know, just behind the line of scrimmage, and that was technically credited as a sack. So if you're talking about legit sacks, I think it was about 6, right, as you mentioned, Steve. So, but still, a really strong performance from the Saints defensive line that's been one of the, kind of the disappointing parts of this team so far. And yeah, Rizzi was talking about building off that 6-8 sack performance against Washington for this matchup against Green Bay.
Yeah, listen, I think that group's playing with confidence right now. I think the best part about the defensive line right now is it's not one-dimensional. We've gotten production from a number of different guys. That's kind of, I think, how we forecasted the season coming into it, is we felt like we had depth at that position. Maybe at some points during the beginning of the year, you know, we kind of played with some peaks and valleys there. I think we're playing much more consistent on the D-line. That's going to be extremely important for this game. The way they run the ball, the way they've been, and then when they mix in their play action, their pass protection. So I think, like I said, I think BY, as I said earlier in the week, has done a tremendous job with that change of scenery there in that room. I think that he's got the group playing with confidence right now. And so that's going to be a huge aspect for this game. One of our goals this week is naturally on both sides of the ball, like it is every week, to win the line of scrimmage. That's what they've done, particularly at home. And so that's going to be a great matchup to watch.
Looking at the Saints and their sacks this season, right now, could you name the leader on the black and gold in the sack department?
Yeah, the guy that everyone expected to take that sophomore leap, and he has in ways, and he's still got areas to improve on. Mickey Loomis talked about that. Brian Bercy. Defensive tackle, 7.5 sacks on the season for the black and gold. And, you know, we were mentioning the Packers have 40 sacks on the season, which is a good number to be at this point. You know, Bobby always says the elite teams are always above 50 by the end of the year, and they're kind of on pace to potentially reach that. But the Saints, with that 8 sack performance that they had against Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, are now up to 37 on the season. So, you know, one of those kind of spots that we thought was pretty disappointing early on, Having an 8-sack day obviously helps.
A guy that's turned it up of late is Chase Young. He's been getting pressures, I feel, all season, but has been able to dial it up and really registering some sacks the last couple of games. He's up at 5.5 now, tied with Carl Granderson right behind Brzee. And, yeah, we need to see more out of him, more out of Granderson. Even Cam Jordan getting into the mix would be nice for this pass rush against a stout Green Bay Packers offensive line that, you know, they've been doing a heck of a job protecting Jordan Love, and I don't know where he ranks currently in sacks this year, but I don't feel like he's been getting a ton of pressure in, you know, when he's trying to deliver the ball.
Yeah, barring an explosive final 3 weeks for either Carl Granderson or Chase Young, the Saints defensive ends probably won't have that coveted 10-sack season. They're both at 5.5 right now, and so they would obviously need to turn up the heat a bunch to be able to get that. Jordan Love's been sacked 11 times this season. The whole year, 11 times. And as far as looking at his stats, I mean, getting pressure on him is going to be huge because, as I mentioned earlier, Steve, like the kind of group of weapons that he can throw to, there's no real true wide receiver one. The closest you have to, like, the true X on this team is the big receiver, Christian Watson. But if Jaden Reed, you know, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks, like, even Bo Melton, and obviously also the Tucker Kraft getting involved in the passing game as well. He's got so many different weapons to spread the ball around too, that it's almost impossible to really get after and defend this passing attack because so many different guys can hurt you. So it's real tough. I mean, Jaden Reed currently leads them with 727 receiving yards on the season, 6 touchdowns as well, is really nice. Tucker Kraft with 7 touchdowns on the season leads the team, but he's also got 555 yards. And Christian Watson, as I mentioned, kind of that deep threat X receiver, the big body type of guy at 620 receiving yards this season. Also 21.4 yards per catch, Steve. So if you're looking at someone to throw a deep shot to that you're going to have to make sure he doesn't beat the deep coverage, it's their kind of big body receiver in Christian Watson.
Looking at this Green Bay Packers offense, we talked about the guy that stirs the drink for them in running back Josh Jacobs. Head coach Darren Rizzi talked about the matchup against the big bruising back. And here's what Riz had to say about Jacobs.
His usage, the way they use him, the way Matt uses him in the offense is really impressive. He can run many different types of plays. He's not just a downhill runner. He can get to the open field and he makes people miss. And so he's a big challenge. I mean, he's playing at such a high level right now. He's playing as one of the best backs in the league. And so and then when you look at what he's done in their home games, it's even more, you know, more impressive. They really get him going. He's one of those guys that get going early in the game. He gets his touches, and you look what he did in Seattle the other day. You know, they started the game off, and he just kind of controlled the game. And that's what he does, the run after catch, the yards after contact. That's really the most maybe impressive thing about him. Rarely does the one guy alone or the first guy there get him on the ground. He's running through contact. That's going to be a huge part of this game. We've done a better job of that the last couple of weeks, and we need to continue, to have that, that success and stopping the run, because that's really right now their offense is just feeding off of him, and I mean, it's impressive.
So the yards after contact seems to stand out, and do you have any sense of why he's been so good in that area?
Like, well, he's a really strong, powerful runner. Even if you look back to his college days, you know, studying him coming out of college, he was a similar thing. He's not a guy you're going to be able to arm tackle. He's a guy you're going to have multiple hats to the ball. You know, we're going to have to do a great job with our swarm. You know, we're going to have to run into the football, the pursuit, because like I said, if he's going through the line of scrimmage and you're just trying to reach out and tackle him, you're not getting that guy on the ground. You need to, you know, make sure our tackling, our wrap, all those things, and that's going to be a challenge with the weather too.
Coach Rizzi talking about Josh Jacobs, who has 1,147 rushing yards, another 302 receiving, and a total of 13 touchdowns on the season. Definitely a guy that's been a fantasy stud for folks and a big problem for this Saints squad going into this game.
So people will look at, you know, the 12 touchdowns and think that I'm kind of underselling him as a touchdown machine, but you got to look a little bit into what he's done recently. And if you're looking at the last few games, starting with Chicago just a few weeks ago, basically the last 5 games that you're looking at, he had 1 touchdown against Seattle on the ground. He had 3 touchdowns on the ground against Detroit, 1 against Miami, 3 against San Francisco, and 1 against Chicago. I mean, he's been a touchdown machine. That is 9 touchdowns in the last 5 weeks.